Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
At this time in worship, as we come intentionally to the Lord in prayer, I invite you to take a breath. And as you exhale your breath, carry with it, lay before the Lord your joys, your concerns. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we gather in your presence today, we are grateful for the opportunity to come before you in worship and adoration. We acknowledge you as the creator of the universe, the giver of life, the source of all goodness and grace. May your Holy Spirit guide our hearts and minds as we lift our voices in prayer. Lord, we confess we have fallen short of your glory. Forgive us for those times when we have strayed from your will, when we have neglected to love our neighbors as ourselves, and when we failed to be faithful stewards of the gifts you have given us. Have mercy on us, O God, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Lord, for the abundant blessings poured out upon us each day and today. For the gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, we give thanks. For the love of family and friends, for the beauty of creation, for the provisions of daily life, we offer our gratitude. Help us never to take these blessings for granted, but to always recognize them as signs of your enduring love and faithfulness. God, we lift up before you the needs of our congregation and our community. We pray for those who are sick or suffering, that you would bring them healing and comfort. We pray for those who are grieving, that you would surround them with your peace and strength. We pray for those who are lonely or lost, that you would draw near to them and remind them of your presence. We also pray for our world, torn apart by division and injustice. We pray for peace to reign in every corner of the earth, for leaders to govern with wisdom and compassion, and for hearts to be softened and reconciled. May your kingdom come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And as we continue in this time of worship, may our hearts be open to receive your word, and may our lives be transformed by your grace. Bless this congregation, O Lord, and fill us with love and peace that we may shine as lights in the darkness and bear witness to your kingdom. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As part of our worship, as part of our prayer, as part of our offering to the Lord, let us take breath and moment to send gratitude to God above, who is the source of all of our gifts. And in that spirit, may we also return with our offering.
Thank you.
Gracious and loving God, we come before you today with our hearts full of gratitude and the blessings you have bestowed upon us. You are the giver of every good and perfect gift, and we acknowledge that we have all that we have comes from your hand. As we bring forth our tithes and offering, we do so with thanksgiving. May these gifts be used to further your kingdom here on earth, to spread your love and compassion to those in need, and to support the work with this church as we serve you faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture comes from the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 6, verses 6 through 16. May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about the royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, "The decree stands with the law in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays 3 times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I mentioned last week that during these weeks prior to Easter, we will be taking time to examine ourselves from God's perspective and to consider taking a chance on God, like some of the people in the Bible. First, we looked at Abraham's faith and the result of his faith, which was a willingness to take a chance on God. And as a result of his gamble, God gave Abram a new name, Abraham, and made him the father of God's faithful people. Last week, we considered Gideon. The angel addressed Gideon as mighty warrior. Gideon had to choose, just like we have to choose, whom he would worship and serve. He chose to serve God, and God blessed Gideon with military success and peace for the Israelite people during his lifetime. All along the way, God called both Abram and Gideon to take that first step of faith, and then the next step of faith, whether it made sense to them or not. God promised to be with them and to provide for them each step of the way. They had to choose if they would take a chance on God and on God's plan for them. That's true for us. God is calling each of us to take that next step on our journey of faith, to fit into God's plan for each of us. To go where he calls you to go, to say what God tells you to say, to do what God tells you to do, and be what God calls you to be. That's the choice that God gives to each of us.
God promises us that his plans for each of us are for good and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. God promises to be with us and to provide for us each step of the way, as long as we are willing to take that first step of trusting in God and taking a chance on God. The Bible tells us that Daniel was forcibly taken from his home and moved to another country along with three of his friends. In each step of that ordeal, Daniel chose to stay close to God. Daniel chose God through his ongoing daily prayers. Instead of looking at tests and trials and tough times and thinking that God was punishing him, Daniel instead chose God and chose to look at those trials as the visible evidence of God's desire for Daniel to draw closer to God. In the midst of the awful circumstances in which he was living, Daniel chose again and again to ask God to supply his every need. Daniel did not run away from God to escape his problems. Daniel ran to God through the problems to whatever blessing God had planned on the other side. That's true for us too. Daniel ran to God to go through the problems to whatever blessing God had planned on the other side. Daniel teaches us that the experience in our lives are really tests, and every trial in the lives of God's people are tailor-made to draw us closer to God. That account that we read in the scripture was not the first test of obedience to God that Daniel faced. There were many other instances prior to that effect where Daniel had to choose whom he would serve. The Bible tells us that while Daniel was still a young man and King Jehoiakim was the king of Israel, Israel was captured by Babylon, and the Jews were all taken into captivity. King Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon at the time. Daniel and his friends were taken to Babylon, and as I told the kids, their Hebrew names were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Once they got to Babylon, their names were changed: Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. While they were there, a period of indoctrination and retraining into the Babylonian culture began for Daniel and his friends. Read through your Bible. In the book of Daniel, there's an awful lot of information about Daniel and all of the ways and times that Daniel trusted God with his life while he was held in captivity in a foreign nation. Daniel was trained in the king's court for service, and he served there for over 70 years. Daniel became a skilled government administrator and excelled at whatever tasks were assigned to him. However, in spite of the good things that were happening to him while he was there, Daniel and his friends were still being held captive. They were still being pressured to become part of the Babylonian culture. They were still being held against their will away from home. Regardless of what they faced, Daniel and his friends continued to turn to God for direction. It was because of his persistent faith and his unfailing trust in the one true living God that Daniel refused to be indoctrinated into worshiping the false gods of the Babylonians. Example: Daniel and his Hebrew friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to eat the unclean food or drink the unclean wine that had been ceremonially offered to the idols. They asked, and the gods allowed, for them to eat vegetables and drink water instead. Daniel and his friends did their best to honor God, and God blessed them even in what they ate and caused them to become healthier than other men their age. Another example: God gave Daniel the ability to interpret visions and dreams. God also gave Daniel the courage to tell the king the meaning of the dreams, even though many of the meanings were not complementary to the king or his reign. Another example, King Nebuchadnezzar decided he wanted people to worship him. So he had a huge statue of himself built, and then he gave the ultimatum that if people refused to worship the statue, they would be thrown into the fiery furnace. The boys had it right. We know that Daniel's friends refused to bow to anyone but God. And they told the king this, and I quote, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter," unquote. Whoa. Those were blazing words they spoke to the king. Then Daniel's friends said, and I quote, "The God we serve is able to save us, but even if he does not, we will not serve your gods," unquote. This was a decisive choice, and it was a huge gamble for Daniel's friends to take. They were thrown into the furnace. God got the glory, however, when Daniel's friends were rescued. They were called to walk back out of the furnace, and the Bible says their clothes were not singed and they did not even smell like smoke. That really impressed King Nebuchadnezzar. The king issued another decree. He said it like this, and I quote, "I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way." God got the glory. There's other accounts of Daniel standing firm in his faith in God in spite of the threats around him. Daniel's legacy of trusting God continued through King Nebuchadnezzar's reign, through his son King Belshazzar's reign, and into the reign of the new king, Darius. The new king Darius was from the Medes. He took over the kingdom at the age of 62, and he saw the political advantage of putting Daniel in charge of the entire kingdom. King Darius was not thinking about Daniel staying devoted to the one true living Almighty God. He was not thinking that Daniel would continue to worship God and make his prayer time with God his most important priority. Daniel prayed publicly to God 3 times a day, and he did it in front of an open window. Well, the advisors to King Darius saw this, and they became so jealous of Daniel's prestige and having the king's favor that they conspired against Daniel. They convinced the king to pass a decree making it a law that anyone who prayed to any god or man except King Darius would be thrown into the lion's den. Because of a lifetime of persistent love and faithful obedience to God, Daniel refused to follow the mandate to pray to the king. In spite of the peer pressure, in spite of the job responsibilities, in spite of the societal norms of the day, in spite of the threat to his life, Daniel's practice was to pray. Daniel prayed in the upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem, and 3 times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to God. His prayer time was the main focus of his day, the main priority of his life. Daniel continued to pray at his upstairs window for all the world to see 3 times a day in spite of people watching. But now, praying to Daniel's God was against the law. Daniel refused to pray in secret. And sure enough, the jealous man reported to the king that Daniel was rebelling against the king's law. When King Darius realized that he had been tricked by his advisors, he reluctantly ordered that Daniel be thrown into the lion's den. It was the law. However, the king also told Daniel that he hoped that Daniel's God would protect Daniel. And he waited. And God did. God closed the mouths of all of the lions. The lions left Daniel alone. And the next morning, the king, who had been waiting and watching to see what God would do, saw that God had protected Daniel, and the king was overjoyed. And the king not only gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den, but when he saw that Daniel was unharmed, the king then ordered for the jealous advisors to be thrown into the den themselves. They would reap what they had tried to sow for Daniel to receive. And then, to top it off, King Darius ordered that everyone would worship Daniel's God, the one true living God, the Almighty. I'm always amazed, even now, of how relevant the words of the Bible are for us. We are in a culture and live in a day where there are many temptations and ungodly influences in our lives. We are bombarded and we are constantly pressured to give in to the values of our culture. On the other hand, we are sometimes tempted to act like we are gods ourselves and make up our own morals, our own values, our own ethics, and make up our own rules to follow. It seems that we're afraid people might criticize us, so we choose to follow the fashions and popular social thinking of the day that replace and trample God's morals, God's values, and God's ethics, and God's rules that are so very clearly presented in the Bible. From Daniel, we learn today that through the ongoing and frequent practice of prayer and obedience to God's word, we can stay true to the will and plan of God. For us today to live a Daniel-like life, we need to make deliberate decisions now to practice standing firm in our faith so that when a time of crisis or decision comes, our decision will have already been made. Our decision and our faith to follow God will not change or falter or fail because we've already chosen. I found that sometimes my first reaction in a crisis is to weaken and lose heart or to give in to the crisis. God's promise is, and I quote, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Unquote. That's a promise we can stand on. Courage is not a feeling. Courage is an action. God's promise says, take the action, and God will strengthen your heart. That means for us, take the first step, and God will strengthen your heart to take the next step. Daniel took the action of a lifestyle of prayer and obedience to God long before his need for courage ever arrived. Daniel was made courageous as he chose God, as he remembered and put into practice the knowledge that his strength and his determination, his courage and his faith to follow God, it didn't come from within himself. It came from God. Daniel did not try to separate his life from his faith. It was through his faith, it was through how he lived his faith each day that Daniel was able to be used by God in so many amazing ways. And besides receiving his strength from God, Daniel had a very strong moral character that stood strong in the face of unpopularity and abuse and hostility. In fact, Daniel lived the words of Philippians 4, 6, and 7 that the other Daniel read earlier today. That quote was, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to do, each one of us. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is more than just a nice Bible verse that we hear in church. We need to live Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Daniel lived a prayer-filled, God-fearing, God-obedient, God-blessed life, and he lived it in the midst of captivity. So can we. We can live a prayer-filled, God-fearing, God-obedient, God-blessed lives in the midst of our day-to-day lives. Our captivity may not be to the Babylonian Empire, but we're faced with captivity to sin. We're faced with captivity to lies and temptations. We're faced with captivity to the just plain evil influences and laws that surround us. And what we can stand on as Christ followers is the promise that no matter what we are facing, we can live like Daniel because it's God who makes us able. We can take a chance on God and trust in God's promise to be with us always to the end of the age. God is taking a chance on us. God did that when he allowed Jesus to pay the price for our sins on the cross. God takes a chance on us by giving us free will. God will not take our free will away from us. If you choose to follow God, if you choose to invite Jesus into your heart, God will give you the Holy Spirit to strengthen you and guide you and empower you to live as a Christ follower and show it in your life. Our love for Jesus is shown in our actions. Choose again and again to pursue God to supply your every need. Do not run away from God to escape the problems. Run to God to go through the problems, to whatever blessing God has planned for you on the other side. Our love for God is demonstrated through our many and through our ongoing prayers. Your prayers have more power than you can More power in this world than you can ever begin to imagine this side of heaven. When we pray, we show our love for Jesus. When we take a stand for Jesus and for the truth of God's word, especially when those stands are not popular, God gives us his courage to stand firmly on our faith and trust in God. With God's Spirit and God's courage living inside you, God will give you the joy and the peace of knowing that Jesus walks close beside you every moment, according to his word, every day. Be like Daniel. Take a chance. Live as trustingly and prayerfully as Daniel. Thanks be to God. Amen.